The African wilderness holds many perils and about as many irritants. The perils, the dangerous animals, the poisonous insects, the running out of water possibilities, the getting lost, those one can usually avoid if you understand the bush and you are vigilant and careful. The irritants, unfortunately, you can't avoid usually. And at the top of my list, are the little black bees. Tsetse flies, of course, are also an irritant of note. But they don't like coming out into the sun. So unless you are spending time under a shady tree where the surface is a bit sandy, there won't be too many of them. But the little black bees, they seem to be everywhere, in force. They are perpetually moisture-starved, and they are constantly, I mean constantly, swarming around your head, crawling into your eyes and nose and mouth and ears, or settle on your sweaty arms to lap up whatever body moisture they can. They will even gather it from carcasses. The only relief is at night. Then, of course, they pass the baton to the mosquitoes. But the little black bees, they are wonderful little creatures, really, stingless. They build their nest in a hollow tree or other cavity where it's difficult for raiders to get to them, you know, like badgers or baboons or monkeys, and of course us, humans. Their entrance is a very small tube, thinner than a pencil. It's almost invisible among the bark folds. The only giveaway is the movement of the little bees as they arrive and leave. But they're tiny, they're only about 3 millimeters long. And you have to be very sharp-eyed to spot them. Your best chance is in the late afternoon when the sun is low, and you can see them when they swarm around their nest, reflected the light reflected off them. They're a nuisance, but their nests are a great boon if you find them in the bush, especially if you're a bit hungry. In this case, the sharp-eyed Kais, he was one of the two Africans that were with me and my brother Philip, spotted the nest. It was high up in a Brachystegia tree. We were not in any survival mode, but the mixture of honey and propolis and bee lava was very tantalizing. My brother Philip, who had accompanied me on this expedition, had never tasted it, so I allowed Kais to climb up to the nest. It was not possible for him to break open the nest at the top. He couldn't get a proper foothold. So I had to chop off the branch that housed it. Down on the ground, he shaved away the wood till he reached the honey. This he did with remarkable skill using a crude instrument, his axe. This is made from a car spring blade that had been fashioned into a triangle and driven through a thick knob at the end of a sturdy stick. The honey was wonderfully sweet, but not too sweet, and it had several other subtle flavors. I can never place these flavors. I know I'm supposed to know them, but I can never actually name them. The honey is highly nutritious, and it is supposed to have medicinal properties too, antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. What I've found, though, is that you have too much of it and it gives you a tummy ache. But then the chances of having too much of it is slim because the nests are so small. And I stood watching Kais chopping off the branch and all this violence to the tree and the little bee's home. And I was tempted more than once to stop him. But our companions were eager for the honey, and it was good for Philip's experience to see how it's done and to taste it. And it illustrated the blunt logic of survival. At the midday break, I wrote in my diary, "It is the ancient logic of the African wilderness. The weaker falls prey to the stronger, the swifter, the cleverer. The weaker must innovate ways to survive. For the little black bees, it's the art of concealment. It is a logic without sentiment, without compassion, without reason other than survival. Many armchair Buss theorists try to bring all kinds of human emotion and Western notions into it. But the fact is, if you try to contradict nature, you are on a futile quest which will in the long run be doomed to sadness and disappointment. Afterwards, I thought a lot about what I had written. We humans are so brutally destructive to nature. It is true that we became dominant through our naturally acquired abilities and to explore and to discover and to innovate and to manufacture and to organize. So the fact that we have become so powerful is a logical consequence of those natural processes. But where we as a species go wrong, though, I think, is through our arrogant, ambitious destruction of the very nature that had enabled us to become dominant. There will come a point that we will realize that despite our creations, we remain far weaker than nature, and we need her. But by then, we will have perverted our environment to the point where it cannot be turned around. All that will be left will be for nature to destroy our species. And she will, with far less compassion than Caius had destroyed the life of the little black bee colony.